Well, good morning again, everybody. If you came in a little bit late, my name is Trevor, and I am the campus pastor here at South Creek. It's great to be here with you with our family service. If you did not grab any of those family supplies for the kids on the way in, you can grab those now still. You're going to want those whiteboards, as we usually do for these services. It's fun to interact a little bit with those. So I'll get to that in just a minute. But before we do, I want to ask you a question. How many people here have been on a road trip with your family? Just raise your hand, okay? Probably at some point, everybody in the room, I would think, right? Somewhere, even just across the town, right? Okay, that's fantastic. Now, how many of you have been on a road trip with your family and your friends? Less, I would imagine that. Maybe you have a school field trip and your parent was a chaperone or something. I don't know, right? There's different situations. We're going to get into that in just a minute. But before we do, I want the kids in the room, and even students, anybody in here that has a whiteboard, if you didn't grab one, go grab one. It's fine. Write down on your whiteboards where you went on your road trip or like your favorite experience or memory. Maybe it was the largest ball of twine. I don't know. Whatever it is, just write it down. I'll come back out in just a minute and sort of look through and see who came up with really good answers. So be writing those down. Where was the favorite thing you ever did? I love road trips. My family loves road trips. We have made it an effort and goal to visit all 48 states. We haven't made it to Alaska and Hawaii yet. We'll get there one day, but we've hit all 48 states already, and it's been awesome. We love road tripping together. It's great. It's chaotic at times, but it's fun. And as you're writing this, I want you to know something. Jesus himself was very familiar with road trips, and as a child, he was familiar with road trips. Every year, he and his family would travel to a big party in a huge city of Jerusalem called the Festival of Passover, which was the first festival God commanded his people to celebrate. God commanded the Israelites, God commanded his people to party. He wanted them to have a good time. He wanted them to remember all the works that he had done in the past. In fact, he told his people, the Jewish people, to go on 3 road trips throughout the year, and they were called pilgrimage festivals. And so with that, I want to see a show of hands. Well, actually, no. First, I want to know what you all drew before we ask the next question. So let me see here. What do we got here? All right. We've got some pictures back here. Okay, you went to Montana. Okay, y'all went to Montana. You went to Georgia when the rest of your family went to Montana. Awesome. You went 2 different ways. That's awesome. And you went to Michigan. Man, you guys really know how to split it up. All right. You went to the Ark Encounter. Okay, that's fantastic. Thunder Rocks. Great. Canandaigua. Awesome. Okay, Ohio. Great, awesome, Florida. You've been all over the place. Fantastic. This is good. The wind you're hearing is the sound that you get when you open up the windows on a road trip in my microphone right now. So you'll just deal with it. That is just fascinating. You always just never fail. Just let everybody look at that insanity. Great. I don't even know what it is. Oh, it's Mount Pastor. My goodness. It's just amazing. All right, Cedar Point, good times. Wisconsin. Hey, I'm from Wisconsin. All right, Myrtle Beach, that's good. Awesome, fantastic. Oh, I got to get back here. Where'd you go? Man, the wind is just blowing through the windows right now. I love it, though. Splash Lagoon. Everybody loves a good water park. All right, I'm coming back to the top, and this is going to be, where'd you go? Oh, yeah, Redwoods, right? Yeah, some sort of rodeo or cowboy festival. Okay, just a cowboy. She just went to see a cowboy. Where was the cowboy located? Oh, nice. Yeah, that's great. That's awesome. That's good. What'd you guys write? Right? Myrtle Beach? Oh, yeah, Myrtle Beach. Okay, fantastic. All right, we've all been all over the place. So let me ask you one more question. How many of you have been on a road trip with your family, your friends, and your entire community? I didn't think so. Not many of us, right? Well, that's exactly what these pilgrimage festivals that Jesus was on with his family meant. That's what it was. It meant traveling to a festival or party together on a big road trip with his whole family, extended family, friends from school, and neighbors. Their whole community would travel to Jerusalem. And for them, being in Nazareth, this was about a 90-mile journey, which would take them about 4 days. And they were going, specifically in the story we're going to read, to celebrate the festival of Passover. To give you a little bit of a refresher as to what Passover even is, if you remember the Old Testament when the Israelites were enslaved by the Egyptians, Moses came to free the Israelites from the captivity of the Egyptians and Pharaoh. And so God ended up sending through Moses and through his power these plagues, right? And the final plague was the spirit of death, which would come down and take away the firstborn of every family unless there was lamb's blood painted on the door frames of the family's homes. Then, if that was the case, the spirit of death would pass over them. This is a beautiful foreshadowing of what Jesus ultimately did as the final sacrificial lamb on the cross for us, and the fact that his blood cleanses us from sin and death. And so we see that foreshadowed in the story of the Egyptians and the Israelites earlier in Scripture. You may have seen this if you've watched during Easter time, the Ten Commandments, that old-fashioned movie that's like 17 hours long, and Charlton Heston with his low voice is in there as Moses, and you get to see all of this play out. But it was a festival that was worth celebrating because it celebrated life and it celebrated freedom. And so that was clearly something worth having a party for, and that's where they were going for on that time. So as you came in, we're going to sort of walk through this story a little bit and take a little trip ourselves through this passage. And you probably should have, as I've already mentioned, received a few things when you came in. There's some fruit snacks like you get in a road trip to sort of keep yourself occupied. And then there's this little fidget thing that we're going to use at the very end. And then obviously the whiteboards as well. But today we're going to read a story about when Jesus was specifically 12 years old on one of these pilgrimage festivals and pilgrimage journeys. And so unfortunately things don't really go as planned to his parents, and we're going to sort of unpack what that looks like. So we're going to begin in verse 41 of Luke 2, but to help me do this, I'm going to ask for somebody in the crowd to help me. I've already picked her out, and so Marigold's going to come up here, Marigold King. She's all excited. She's chomping at the bit, right? I'm going to give her a microphone here, all right? Okay, so here's your microphone, all right? Talk into it and say hi to everybody.
Hi.
Say, I'm Marigold.
I'm Marigold.
Great, fantastic. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to add some sound effects to this story to sort of liven it up a bit. They're going to be on the screens, but the two sound effects we're going to use in this one, and we're going to do it together, and they're going to do it with us, right? The first one is gasp, right? We're going to be like, like the Home Alone gasp, maybe, and not hit the microphone, but like, like that, right? So we're all going to do that. Let's do that together. You do it too, on the count of three. One, two, three. Good. Nailed it. All right. And then the next sound effect we're going to use is that like anticipated sound effect. And when you're watching a movie and something suspenseful is about to happen, that dun, dun, dun. Okay. So we're going to do that together on the count of three. One, two, three.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun.
Well done. All right. Those are going to be on the screens for all of us to participate with, but she's going to lead us with it with the microphone. All right. So here we go. I'm going to read this starting in verse 41. Again, your prompts will be on the screen. So join us as we do this. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. And when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him.
Dun, 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 dun.
Well done. Let's give her a round of applause. You're going to come back up. I got one more passage she's going to help me with in just a minute, but let me unpack that one just a little bit. So first of all, parents, have you ever lost track of your kids for a few minutes? Anybody in here ever lose track of your own children? Raise your hand. I have. It's terrifying, especially if you're like at the fair or an amusement park or something. It's a horrifying experience. When I was younger and my family was on one of our road trips, we went out to Seattle and there was this like 2 or 3 story mall. And in the middle of the mall, in the center of it, was this ice skating rink. And so I was like peering through the railing, looking down at this like girl doing these like crazy double, triple axles and all this stuff. And I was like mesmerized by it. My parents were watching me, but then they're like, okay, it's time to move on. So they left. They thought I was with them, but I wasn't. And so they panicked about 2 minutes later when they realized I wasn't with them. I panicked when I looked up and there was nobody there. Luckily, about 3 minutes later, I found a security guard, or he found me crying. And we reunited in what was probably a grand total of 5 minutes, right? In the eternal scheme of things, it wasn't that long, but it felt like an eternity. The good thing is my parents didn't like leave town without me and pull a full-blown Home Alone, right? And just like leave me behind in a different city. But that is what Mary and Joseph essentially did, right? They left Jesus back in Jerusalem as they headed home. And you may be thinking to yourself, I don't know how that would happen. Seems a little irresponsible. But you got to understand the culture of the time, because they were traveling in a caravan of people they knew well and trusted. Compared to today, parenting was much more of a collective effort back then. And even in different cultures today, if you go over to Africa and sort of walk through some of the villages and towns, a lot of times you'll see children just sort of all over the place playing, and their parents are nowhere to be found, but there's other adults like sort of helping along. It's a very communal aspect of raising each other's kids. Like it takes a village, right? That whole cliche thing. It's pretty true in some cultures. And it was this exact scenario that they were in right here. And Jesus was 12 years old. So technically he was old enough to ride in someone else's caravan or hop on somebody else's donkey. Like it's going to be okay. It would have been fine. It was customary for this to happen. And so also we know that Mary and Joseph had other children in addition to Jesus. And so they probably had their hands full with all sorts of chaos, and they figured Jesus would be fine. He's probably with somebody else. Everything's going to be okay. That's another. Right. There you go. See, cultures, time frames, all different sorts of things. That's awesome. I can only imagine the fear and anxiety Mary and Joseph must have felt, though, when they realized Jesus was, in fact, not with them. And this was an entire day later. This would have been torturous. It would have been terrible. It would have been like, what are we going to do? And then they had to go back, which they've already been traveling a day. So now they have to go another day to get back. And then to make matters worse, they still don't find him right away. It would have been pretty horrifying as a parent. And then, oh yeah, let's not forget it's God that they forgot. They left God back in Jerusalem, which interestingly enough, we'll get to in just a minute. So all that to say, we sort of set the stage. They've come back and things continue and to continue unfold. And we'll start back up in verse 46, but I need Marigold to come back up one more time. All right, we got a couple new sound effects, okay? We're gonna repeat the gasp sound effects. We're gonna repeat that one. Is that on? Did I turn it on or off? It's on, you're good. All right, great. And then we got a new one. It's, whew. You know, you wipe your brow, it's like, oh my goodness, thank goodness, that everything's okay. So let's do that. One, two, three. All right, and then one last one when your brother or sister gets in trouble and you're like, oh, you're in trouble, right? We're gonna say, oh, okay, on the count of three, everybody. One, two, three. Oh. All right. With all that, let's read it one more time. Continuing in verse 46, after 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions.
Whew.
Man, everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you."
Oh.
Well done. Thanks for bringing this to life for us, Marigold. Thank you very much. Well done. Fantastic. All right, so we see this whole thing continue to play out. And I imagine as Mary finally finds Jesus, she's probably mixed with all of these emotions of simultaneously wanting to sort of like throttle him, hug him, cry with relief, and shout in anger, right? It's those moments where if you've ever been a parent and you've sort of had that panic situation, but then everything's okay, but maybe your kid did something they weren't supposed to do that caused it, you're like super upset, but you're super grateful, and it's just like, how do I even handle these emotions, right? Well, it's amazing as to how Jesus responds to Mary when she's like, how could you have done this? Your father and I have been anxiously waiting for you. Now keep in mind, he's 12 years old when he responds to this. And in verse 49, it continues this way. He says, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now, his answer to his mom is kind of perplexing and weird. He's like, it's been 4 days and they haven't even seen him, and yet he doesn't understand why they're looking for him. He's like, I'm in my father's house. I'm where I'm supposed to be. And you're probably thinking, well, that doesn't make any sense, but you've got to remember that Joseph is not his biological father. He is his earthly father. The best way to sort of put an analogy to this is that he's somewhat of an adopted parent. In this situation, because his heavenly father, his actual father, is God himself. And so he is in his heavenly father's house. Up until this time, the the being of God himself, the presence of God, filled the temple, specifically in Jerusalem. This is where they were. And so Jesus was with his Father. And so this is what he just tells them is going on. Now, this whole interaction can be even a little bit more confusing because we really don't have any other cross-references or interesting scriptures to kind of point to what it was like for Jesus when he was 12. This is it. All of the other gospels go from Jesus as baby to Jesus, through Jesus and jumping straight to him in his 30s when he jumps into ministry and eventually dies on the cross. And so we see all over the place, baby Jesus and adult Jesus, but we don't see anything of child Jesus and preteen Jesus until we get to this. And so what is it about Luke's passage that the Holy Spirit inspired him to write this and reveal this to us? And so we're just going to unpack a few things from this situation as we move forward, learn from Jesus even as a child and how we can learn from him as a child ourselves or as maybe an adult that's taken for granted our childlike faith. So the first thing to know of importance is that Jesus was once a kid. He was once a child, not just a baby, not just in his 30s, not just on the cross, but a child as well. And so as we continue, I continue to sort of unpack a little bit of this, I want you kids in the room to sort of draw what you think Jesus enjoyed to do as a child. Like what were some of his favorite activities? And you can't use video games or scrolling on your phone or Snapchat. Those aren't options because they didn't exist yet. Okay? So come up with something that Jesus would have desired to do as a child or as a kid. And remember that however old you are, if you are a child or student in this room, Jesus was also that age at some point. And I think that's powerful to remember that. He knows what it's like to be a kid. He knows how hard it is, how fun it is, and absolutely at times how scary it can be. And so as we sort of look at this interaction that Jesus has with his mother specifically, we really see that for the most part, he's an ordinary 12-year-old boy, but in many ways, he's extraordinary. And so we're still sort of working with this extraordinary theme that we worked through the month of Advent and December leading up to Christmas. And so, well, it's totally ordinary for a 12-year-old Jewish boy to be at the temple with other teachers. It was extraordinary that everybody who heard him, as the scripture says, was amazed and his understanding and his answers. Like he was essentially teaching the teachers in this moment. As he's listening, he's responding back with wisdom. And that's what we see as well. Not only was Jesus once a kid, but Jesus was wise. And he was wise well beyond his years. I think we think of our own kids, and there's certain situations in life in which our kids definitely seem to be smarter than we are. My kids in school, and all ages of them actually, come home with things that I have no idea what they're talking about or learning about, but it seems to be important to them, so that's great. My son is in like some AP chemistry class. He comes home, and I'm like, you might as well just speak a completely different language to me right now because I have no idea what you're talking about. But he wants to be an engineer, so I guess he needs to know these things. I have no clue what he's talking about, but that's great. It's good for him. But it's ordinary. That's right. It's normal. A lot of times our kids know more than we do about certain subjects. But what was extraordinary about this was that Jesus knew more about God's will for his life than his mom even did. As he reminds her, he's doing his Father's will, even in the temple he was in. And so in this moment, with all of the wisdom that he clearly had, even at a young age, it would be easy for him to sort of have a puffed up chest and think, you know what, I'm pretty good at all this stuff. I know a lot more than all of you. And sort of use that to lord over other people. But instead, he displays humility, which is the next thing we see here, is that Jesus was humble. Mary had asked, why did you do this to us? And I think if I were Jesus, I probably would be like, hey, just excuse me here for a minute, but you did this to me. Like, you left me here. So, you know, I think maybe you got this all wrong. We're going to come back to that perspective in just a minute. But he reminds her gently of who his heavenly Father is and that obedience to him is his first priority. He says, didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? Again, speaking of his heavenly Father. Now, this comment really silences Mary as it says she keeps this treasured in her heart, this moment, this interaction. And just like you and I, if we're parents in the room here and we have children when they're young, we try and maybe keep journals of funny little things they say through the years. And we're like, we don't want to forget that. And I did that with my kids. And I think I have the most evidence against my daughter because she's the oldest and we did the best job of this. And then as my kids continued to be born and get older, we sort of got lazier and lazier. So I apologize. So you've got lots of stuff I get to use against you at your wedding this summer. Right. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for the grace you've just extended me. That's fantastic. I had more responsibilities. Right. So she's keeping all of this treasured in her heart. And we see this happen a few times in the story of her life. And so it was a pretty powerful moment, right? So we see Jesus was once a kid. I think that reminds us how relatable he is to each and every one of us. And if you and I are followers of Jesus Christ, we are his children still, even today. And we see that Jesus was wise beyond his years. We see that Jesus was humble. And we also see that Jesus was obedient. Not only to his heavenly father, but he was also obedient to his earthly parents, as it says he went with them and obeyed them. And so he continued to do this. He continued to obey both his heavenly father and his earthly parents. Now, this would have been a challenging way to parent a child, knowing that you're like sort of you're like secondary in the priority of him obeying God the Father. But in reality, that should be our first priority of obedience, regardless, is the ways of the Lord. And so sometimes maybe we don't know that or understand that, but this is where scripture comes in place. This is where coming together in places like this come in play. And so we're going to kind of continue to remind ourselves of that as we continue. But he went with them and was obedient to them as well and honored his mother and father. So before we sort of really reflect on what this truly means for us, let me see what some of you think Jesus liked to do as a child. All right, I'm gonna roll the windows down on the road trip and get the wind going again. Okay, here we go. Books of knowledge. Yes, he's reading books of knowledge, which he would have done. Yes, absolutely. That's fantastic. Write scrolls, read scrolls, be happy, be kind. I like that. Just kickball. That's nice, kickball. That's great. Yep, fantastic. Play Moses in the family, she's trying to write something down. Talking to God. That's good. That's fantastic. Oh, you finished writing. What does that say? Meeting new people. Fantastic. Going to the temple, talking to God in the temple, having fun. What is yours? Ice fishing? Okay. Fishing makes more sense than ice fishing. I should have went with fishing to start with, but I did not. Great. Woodworker, playing and making toys. He's an elf. And, right, target practice, fantastic. These are good things. These are all good things. Great. Fishing. Yes, fishing is good. Awesome. What am I forgetting? Oh, Chloe and her parachute. Jesus, no. Skydiving. Does it say skydiving or something else? It does say skydiving. I wonder what kind of material he used for a parachute. Papyrus? All right. Great. And then we got one over here. Great. Playing, holding a cross, praying. Yes, awesome. Fantastic. Great. I got a couple more. I'm coming around the front again. Just making my rounds. Yep. Jesus loves the Bills. Let's see. Let's hope he loves the Bills today. That's good. Nazarethan soccer. That's fantastic. Playing catch. And feeding donkeys. I will get us food. Riding in a carriage. Yes. Okay, fantastic. Good, great. He liked to do all these things, right? Good. All right. That's good. Okay, I'm going to roll the window back up. No more wind. And it's done. Okay, great. So what does this all mean for us, right? We're having fun this morning. I realize it's sort of, but really what does this mean for us? And I think it's a perspective. When we look at this story, we look at the situation that Mary and Joseph had with Jesus in this moment and all of this play out, I think we need to understand that perhaps it wasn't Jesus who went his own way and left his family and friends, but the other way around. They left him. Have you ever entered into a particular season of life or entered into a new endeavor or taken advantage of a new opportunity only to look around at some point and realize it seems as if Jesus isn't there with you anymore? I think it's very easy to sort of approach Jesus, especially maybe when we're new in our faith. We approach him, we're on fire for him, we want to be with him, and then we just sort of naturally sort of fade away from desiring to be with him. And all of a sudden we look around and it seems like he's no longer there. We've sort of left him in the background. Or something maybe we've prayed for over the years and it's come to fruition and then all of a sudden we're like, I've got what I want, so for a while I'm good, and you just sort of get lazy about intentionally engaging with the Lord on a daily basis, and you look around and it seems like he's not there, like you've left him. Or you got too busy and you stopped spending time with him intentionally in scripture, or spending time with him praying, or spending time going to church. And this is a beautiful time of the year in which people sort of kind of come back to church during Christmas Eve, and they think, maybe I should come back more often. And it's a great way to sort of rejuvenate this relationship that God desires to have from you. Maybe instead of staying on the straight path that God desires for you, you've allowed sin to sort of creep in different areas of your life. And now you look back and you're like, man, the path that I've been on has been really sort of crooked and twisted and all over the place because I've sort of tried to do things my own way. So as we sort of continue in this moment, kids, those little fidget gadget things that you got and you came in, just kind of shape, you probably already are, but shape those into like a twisted path, right? It's pretty easy to do that with those. Just sort of shape it into a twisted path to represent the moments in life in which we sort of allow sin to creep in and take over and sort of veer us off the track that God desires for us. And maybe along this journey and along this path, you've looked around and you've seen other people on the journey with you, the other people who are followers of Jesus, and you're on this path together. And all of a sudden, as you're on this journey, you sort of start to focus more and more on these other individuals and forget to focus on Jesus himself. A lot of times people will walk through life and they'll identify a pastor or somebody that means a lot to them, and they'll just receive and receive and receive from them. And all of a sudden they've started to elevate them above God himself. And then when that person fails in some way, shape, or form, because they are human and will at some point, their world is shattered because everything they knew sort of fell apart because they had forgotten to focus primarily on the relationship with Jesus. And yes, it's important that we learn from other people, that God speaks through other people. We talk about that all the time, but it's very easy at times to elevate other individuals and teachers and pastors to a point of almost a divine status. And then when things go wrong, we think, how in the world could God be real? Because that person failed, so that means everything's terrible. And these are very dangerous places to be in. And I've seen, unfortunately, as I walk through my years of ministry, seeing people fall away from their relationship with Jesus Christ, not because of Jesus failing them, but because of another individual that fails them. And I think it's a very good reminder for us, even in our older years, to remember that Jesus is the ultimate one we should be focusing on. I think it's just overall a reality that it's often very easy for us to just simply take Jesus for granted and just assume that he's gonna be with us doing his thing. And you know, here's the thing, he will be with us. He will never leave you or forsake you. He is not the one doing the leaving. It's us, because we are naturally prone to wander. The sinful nature that we have within us, apart from Jesus, will always entice us and draw us further from him. And so we need to be intentional about spending time with him in scripture. And what a beautiful time of year to start this. To maybe commit to daily spending time with the Lord, whether you pick this up and start reading it. We're actually gonna start a brand new series next week. We're gonna look at Genesis and the origins of sin and humanity and where we all came from. And then what happens when we walk off this path that God desires for us to be on. And so we often don't tell people to like open Genesis and start reading from the beginning through the Bible, but we are going to do that next week, but we're gonna walk you through it as best we can. We'll have some reading plans available for you, as well as some additional resources we're gonna try and share with you that sort of can help you in whatever level of engagement you wanna be at. But we would love for you to be a part of that. It's gonna be an incredible journey together as we start that next week. And so what a great time to step into scripture, to step into coming back to church on a regular basis and not just sporadically being here once in a while, but really committing to being this, because Jesus is here and he is with you, even in the midst of your darkness and your brokenness and your failures and flaws. He's not left you. More importantly, what has happened is that we have turned our back on him, but he desires and craves for us to come back. We see that in scripture all over the place, when people come back into a reality of who Jesus is for them. And so just like many of you acknowledge that Jesus wanted to pray and hang out with God as he was a child, can you imagine if it wasn't a job or a task to hang out with God every day, but it was truly a desire of your heart, just like it was for Jesus at that age? is he obeyed his heavenly Father, his ultimate priority to be in relationship with him. And yes, through that, acknowledge his earthly parents and obey them as well. But to have that natural desire. And so we want to sing this final song and just acknowledge the fact that God desires to abide with each and every one of us. Despite our brokenness and where we've messed up, he desires to abide with us, and he desires and craves for us to desire that back in return. So as you wrap up this portion of the service, kids, you can kind of take that and make it a straight again, that fidget thing we got. Just make it straight as a representation of Jesus' forgiveness of your sins. The fact that he wants you on the straight and narrow, and he wants you to desire being there because he loves you so, so much. As we do this, just like Jesus, as it says in this passage, grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God, his heavenly Father, and those around him, it's our desire to grow with our relationship with God the Father and those around us as well. And as we do that, as we grow in our spiritual lives, we will find that the times we wander become fewer and further between. And the time between sin and repentance will grow shorter and shorter. He desires the best for you. Acknowledge that. Abide with him. Depend on him each and every day. And what a beautiful time to start that as we enter into a brand new year. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you are here with us today, that you desire to be with us, and that you hope and desire that we want that as well. Teach us that abiding in you is the best thing that we can have. That we should be more concerned about spending daily time with you than our daily Snapchat streaks. And that you offer full grace and love and mercy unlike anything else in the world can offer. Help us to understand the truth of that, Lord. We love you. We praise you. We depend on you. Help that be the prayer of our heart as we continue to sing this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's continue as we sing together.